I think there's lots of rules around how you're meant to navigate technology, and there's lots of like explaining of how you're meant to navigate technology. And I think the most creative outcome that you get with technology is when you approach it without having those sort of rules enforced upon you.
Traveling New Zealand, featuring and celebrating amazing women in tech all across the North Island and South Island, I came across James with Werewolf, and man, was he helpful in connecting me to the women in tech community in order to enable me to empower these incredible women to move forward. So just passionate about women in tech.
My name is James Burns. I'm Chief Marketing Officer at Werewolf, the app for adventure tourism operators. I've had the pleasure of working for a lot of really smart women, and both in tech and outside of tech. And it's just generally been my experience over the last 20 years that there's not nearly enough women's voices in leadership roles in tech companies. And so I just think it's important that we have that sort of voice. Myself, I have two young daughters who today are 4 and 6. And I want to make sure that when they get to an age where they're ready to start their first company, that they have all the opportunity and support that they need. Werewolf makes it easy for adventure tourism operators, everything from skydiving companies and bungee operators to jet boating and rafting companies, to go paperless, to handle the guests from arrival all the way through departure, check them in through a really beautiful custom-branded iPad app, ask them a lot of key questions, take that data to build a customer marketing database. Werewolf was recognized by Deloitte in their Fast 50 Awards for this year as the rising star one to watch. And as we move to the United States, it's really important that we continue to capitalize on the kind of growth that we've experienced over the last 3 years. And we're doubling, tripling the size of the company annually. Queenstown is the adventure capital of the world. Right, we have 150 plus adventure tourism operators just within a 10-minute drive of where we're sitting right now. Any activity you can think of that you'd want to do, you could do it. Bungee jumping was invented here. Jet boating was invented here. I mean, there's so much that happens here. There's so much innovation around the adventure topic that we're really primed well to leverage that. And that's no better place for us to be based.
Be sure to explore more about Werewolf at getwerewolf.com. That's GETWHEREWOLF.com. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. We are here in Christchurch, New Zealand. Yes, and oh my gosh, this place is surprising me time and time again with all the cool places. From right now, I'm sitting in Evil Genius, this amazing co-working space with a secret co-working entrance room, like, or door. It's just you go through an epic coffee shop, and then you walk into this really, really cool underground, I want to work here, co-working space. Then, and earlier we were at Epic Innovation, and then we were at Exchange. I mean, it just keeps going on and on. And then there's the Ministry of Awesome. I swear, for a city that people are saying has been like ruined by the earthquake, it doesn't feel very ruined to me. It feels thriving and innovative.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
So go ahead and introduce yourself, Sarah, and tell us. Okay. Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, totally. My name's Sarah. I work for White Elephant Trust, which is a youth organization here in Christchurch. Basically, we just put on cool stuff for young people. Yeah.
Tell us, what's the cool stuff?
Okay, so we have a bunch of different programs that we run. So we have things like speed cubing clubs. We used to run lots of yoga classes. What else do we have? We have like open mic nights, hip hop open mic nights.
Nice.
And also poetry open mic nights as well. So yeah, there's heaps of just fun, cool stuff for young people to experience.
How long
themselves.
Have you been doing this?
I've been here for about 2 years now. Yeah. And I just have a role. My role is communications manager.
Yeah.
So I kind of develop a lot of the strategy around how we communicate ourselves and our brand and things like that.
Yeah. Now, your love for technology started a long time ago. So
yeah,
let's 100%. Dive in.
Yeah. So, Ooh, it's kind of fun to think about because I don't know if there was like one specific time in my life where you would pinpoint that, you know, it was just all of a sudden I was into technology.
Right.
I mean, I guess if you take it one step back, I freaking love learning.
Yeah.
You know, I love learning and I love innovation. And my dad was always really into technology and like cool audiophile gear and stuff like that. And then when I got a little bit older, I started making music.
Yeah.
And when I started making music, I started gravitating towards sounds that were electronic.
Right.
And that was probably what really sparked like my sort of deep love for technology. And I started to sort of learn about all of these instruments and sounds and where they came from and how to create them. And then I got quite into learning about gear. And then I went and studied audio engineering at a school here in Christchurch. And after that, I ended up teaching like in London and like in Oxford and here in Christchurch, New Zealand, music technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm sort of doing something a little bit different, but that's kind of like, you know, the little journey of mine. Yeah. That
nice.
I've had with technology. Yeah.
And what would you say has been a challenge that was, that you didn't know if you could get past and then you successfully conquered it and how?
Well, I guess my immediate, like the thing that drove me to learn more about like utilizing technology was my creative need to make things.
Right.
So I was really driven to make stuff, you know, and I had a sound and a feeling I wanted to create. And I, in order to do that, I needed to use things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I, that's what drove me to learn about technology. Like I wouldn't necessarily have if I hadn't had that drive to create things. And I'm still sort of doing that now in my, you know, I've moved a little bit away from lecturing these days, but I'm still sort of using technology to communicate.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of how it rolls for me.
And what is it like now? Did you create the company you have now?
No. Our company's been around for a while, like maybe 10-ish years. Yeah.
And so that's separate from your interest in tech, right?
Yeah, well, I'm a sort of do digital strategy kind of stuff here. So I'm using, you know, lots of social media and you know, like I create websites and things like that. So, you know, still kind of merged together, as I would say.
Where do you really exercise your passion and love for the tech space? Where can
I would
more
say
that?
In my lecturing position. So, you know, I've taught music technology and I've taught composition as well. And all of those areas, you know, truly focused on technology. And in fact, another thing that I did a couple of years back as well is I noticed there was a really a gender discrepancy in the music world. And especially for myself, I had never collaborated with another woman who created music as a producer.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is a bit whack. Like, why is this happening? Like, surely women have the same accessibility to technology. What are the barriers that are occurring? And so what I ended up doing was creating a sort of course that was for an electronic music production for women. And then I took that around New Zealand and taught a whole bunch of women how to kind of get started with creating electronic music.
Right.
Which was amazing. And I wanted to facilitate like a really sort of safe space for women to be able to navigate technology in whatever freaking way they want. Because I think there's lots of rules around how you're meant to navigate technology.
Yeah.
And there's lots of like explaining of how you're meant to navigate technology. And I think the most creative sort of outcome that you get with technology is when you approach it without having those sort of rules enforced upon you. So I tried to enable a space where the technology was available and these were the basics, you know?
Yeah.
These are the basics of how you like turn this thing on, you know, how you like might want to use this thing, but do what you want with it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a really creative space to be in, I think.
How did you become a professor on music tech?
Well, I just because I made music and then I studied audio engineering and then it just happened. Yeah, I applied for a job in SA in Oxford and the UK and I got it. And then I just was, teaching lots of different subject matters in the music departments. Not just music tech.
But. It's really rare that I hear about music tech. Can you educate us what that means? Where is all the technology within music?
Of course. Well, it's a truckload of technology within music these days. I mean, I guess, you know, back in the day, you know, people would have been learning about, you know, instruments or whatever. But, you know, today it's all about using your computer and using digital audio workstations to create music. So you basically, use a bunch of software, most people do these days, and to create music. And it's quite complicated and it's, a lot to learn. And so that's essentially, you know, what I've been teaching. But there's also lots of different hardwares as well that you can use, you know, obviously like synthesizers and, you know, effects units and mixes and things like that. And then you got to stick them all together and make them work. And then, you know, you've got to like get used to how to do all of these things. It's quite an infinite space, really.
And how do you continue your learning? I mean, you are the teacher, so how does the teacher learn?
I'm really interested in learning. I think I'm really driven by learning. So for me, it's quite a natural position to be in. And I kind of quite active in learning. So, but again, I think I'll probably come back to that main theme of like, learning or wanting to create drives my need for technology. And so for me, I'm like, this is a cool idea that I have that I want to do. How can I make that happen? And then often that's led me to knowing a piece of equipment like inside out until I get my desired outcome. And that is usually what drives me. And it's interesting because lots of people are driven in different ways. And I think lots of people are really engaged with just technology and they are in love with technology. Yeah. And so they just learn it, you know, and they like get a new thing, a new piece of gear, a new whatever.
Right.
But for me, it's kind of always been the opposite. It's like, how can I use that thing to activate my idea?
What do you think about the startup culture here in Christchurch?
It's pretty amazing. I think it's really cool. And I think it's really it's got a nice sort of like juxtaposition, maybe isn't the right word, but a nice kind of expression, I think, of the space that Christchurch is in.
Yeah.
Because of the earthquakes and because everything's like been a little broken, that, you know, from that space, you open up a lot of opportunity for innovation and newness.
Totally.
Entrepreneurship and things like that.
I've been telling people it feels like America's Detroit.
Yeah, cool. I've not been to Detroit, but
I haven't either. I want to go to Detroit, but my impression of Detroit is kind of like a community that really rallies behind a city and believes in it and is now focused on innovation and art in order to make a city that once thrived strong thrive again.
Cool. Yeah, awesome. Well, it's cool that it has a familiarity.
Does it sound familiar? Yeah, is that different for you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I've been really surprised how much I really like it here.
Yeah.
And how creative you guys are.
Yeah.
Have you been to I've talked about this in every episode, so I'm sorry, you guys. Have you been to the Comic Cafe in Littleton?
The cafe.
It's like a comic book cafe.
No.
I don't know what name of it. I wish I did, but it's like a comic book cafe. No, it has comic books everywhere, and it's so dope. Oh, and they have a garden upstairs.
Oh, wow.
You have to go.
Okay, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, it has the same vibe as here. Yeah, it's amazing. One last thing I want to touch base on, and we were talking about this a little bit before the interview started, is the kind of way of life in New Zealand is to prioritize personal time. Mm. The way of life in America is to kill yourself overworking. I definitely don't think the American way is the best way, but like in the New Zealand way, I genuinely wonder where does the hustle meet the peace and the boundaries?
There's definitely hustle in New Zealand, 100%. And people do hustle quite hard. But there's not that expectation. Well, it depends on the area that you work in and the jobs that you work in. You know, like, I have family members who, you know, like are on call at all stages and they'd have to go into work at any point and things like that. But, it's just culturally different.
Yeah.
It's tricky for me to explain because I'm a New Zealander, but you know, I've lived in London and things like that, and I've seen the hustle, you know, there, and it's like fast. And
London is super hustle.
Oh God, it's like so intense. But I don't know how to really explain it. I mean, I think people do work hard, and but there is a culture of like relaxed.
Yes.
Of just chill. You know, people wear chill clothes.
Yeah.
You know, like people turn up to work in their like jandals. I know what you guys call
it. Oh, that's flip-flops. Flip-flops. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm down with that. You know, and it's I just barely like, get dressed every day.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Cool. Like everything's fine. Yeah. But, you know, I wouldn't say that the people that I know don't work really hard, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, it's different. It's different, culturally different. And people, I think, there's a real culture shift as well of self-care.
There is a culture shift of self-care.
Yeah, and I think that's happening kind of globally as well. And I think that's really important. I think we are more effective as workers when we take care of ourselves.
It's so true.
You know, we're not just like working and like exhausted and we can't do anything, you know? Yeah.
I had someone get, I don't know if aggressive is the right word, but very, very stern with me that I work too much and I will understand that after 5 o'clock, forget it, and on weekends, no way.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Like I've been up since 2 in the morning working now. Like,
yeah.
I can't even imagine how's everything going to get done if I like stop working at 5.
Yeah, wow. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how anything does get done, to be honest.
But. You're like, I'm so peaceful that it just happens with fluidity and ease.
Yeah, I just go to my yoga class straight after work.
You probably do.
Well, something along the lines of that, I go to the gym. But,
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. Is there anything else you wanted to share before we start to wrap it up?
No, I'm all good. Yeah.
How can people find you?
Oh, people can find White Elephant Trust on the internet. It's www.whiteelephanttrust.org.nz.
And what's, and do you have an email? Are you on social?
I've got an email, Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at we.org.nz.
And what is the we.org.nz?
We is like an acronym for White Elephant.
So it's still the same thing.
We managed to get our URL like as super early, and so now we've got like this URL that's like two letters.
It's
what
amazing.
What the hell even is that?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. It's been rad being here. I can't wait to meet all the women to come, and it's just. Tell you know what? Before we go, tell us about Evil Genius.
Oh, Evil Genius. This is a super great, co-working space that I hang out in. I haven't like had a lot to do with, you know, how it was created or anything, but their kind of a general ethos is kind of creating a space that kind of challenges the status quo, you know. So, yeah, they're cool. It's a really nice environment, super warm, supportive and fun. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
And it does feel that way.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's like a little family. It's really nice.
It's so nice. Yeah. I love the secret door.
I know.
So cool.
It's really cool. Yeah. I still have trouble with it though. Sometimes I'm like, how do I get out of here? Oh, God.
thank you for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. If you guys want to say hello, go to @WomenInTechShow on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, or go to womenintechvip.com to check out the Facebook group where you can connect with all sorts of other amazing women in tech around the world. I will talk to you guys, see you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.